Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the cheese tasting room of Jolly Roger's studio.
Special room.
Special room, yeah. This is the Q Filmcast once again. And if you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant.
Yep.
We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio, as we always do,
yep,
to tell you what we thought of it. That and our weekly top three list, always inspired by the movie in question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, always.
So here we are once more, each and every time.
Every time.
You know what I'm saying, Gumbo?
I do.
We won't let you down, is what I'm trying to tell you.
We try not to.
Yeah. So no matter where you're at or how you've tuned in, thanks for doing so. We certainly appreciate it. If you want to keep up with us, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
What do you say? Easy to do, Savage.
Sure.
Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, doesn't matter. But what you want to do,
yeah,
you want to go to thequfilmcast.net. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from there, you can leave your review of the film in question.
Sure.
Tell us what you think of it.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think of us thinking of it.
Yeah, or take one of our mini polls.
Many polls, that's right.
Yeah.
And let's get quick introductions out of the way real quick here. We're talking right now, and the voice you're hearing is James Hard Subsavage.
What's up, Maestro?
Doing okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk about this film.
Yeah, I want
to
hear about your week.
You want to hear about my week?
Later.
Let's get on to that. I have a few things. Every week I always tell you how the last 7 days have been.
Sure.
Adam, the producer. There he is. I'm going straight around the room. The greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast.
Hello to your Havarti.
Ooh. You know what?
Oh, wow.
That intro was so good.
Oh.
It really was. It was so good. Yeah. Max Gumbo Johnson. I want to save the best for last.
Sure.
Hello, Governor.
Oh, hello! A little bit of an Oliver Twist thing going on there.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of that. And just a reminder, we're still looking for submissions for a new theme song.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're in Music City. We're in Nashville. Somebody, come on. Get on that.
Or across the world, wherever you're listening, get on it.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens here.
Sure.
Max, are you telling us?
It could even be in French.
That would be awesome.
Ooh, wee. Have that with some brie.
Not bad.
We could have like an international flavor.
There you go.
What you're saying, Max, is we need a theme song. We've had 100 episodes.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on, push through to the next 100, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you want to maybe flare it up a bit with something from our listeners as far as a theme song.
I want a branded theme song.
What about like a barbershop quartet or a rap song?
I don't care.
Absolutely.
Send us what you got.
I like that. See?
I'm going for a Middle Eastern feel.
Yeah, we could do something there.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Max.
You bet, man.
We wanted to get that out there. We're looking for a bit of a play along with a theme song here.
Go to thequfilmcast.net.
Yeah, leave us what you got. By the way, Max, before we get in the show, I want to ask you, Max Gumbo Johnson, what kind of cheese would go well with gumbo? If you had to have like a little cheese plate on the side.
I think it's just your standard cheese assortment. The basics, you know, some cheddar, some pepper jack.
Your Colby.
Maybe some hard sliced, Parmesan would be good with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking more
some
like
blue.
I'm not a big blue cheese guy.
I love me some
blue cheese.
Even the crumbles? Maybe the crumbles.
I
like feta.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not hating feta.
Just wanted to ask you, before we moved along, I just wanted to ask you what kind of cheese you thought went well
Goat's
with gumbo.
Head.
Yeah. Hey, you asked me how my week was, too, Savage.
I did. How was your week?
Did you know at no time this week, did I throw a party where someone ate all of my cheese and then regurgitated it out on their plate?
Oh, that's awesome.
And then ate it.
That didn't happen to you.
And then ate it, yeah. Glad that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Did you know, Max, did you know at no time did my massive wheel of brie roll into the ocean?
That's fantastic news.
Not bad, huh?
Especially the ocean. They'd have to go a long way.
Yeah, they would.
Imagine like you're in Virginia and there's a big, huge wheel of cheese. What is that? I don't know. Game started in Nashville.
I'll tell you what, though. The reason I'm here is because at no time whatsoever did I explode due to lactose intolerance.
Crap.
Awesome.
Not for one brief iota did that happen this week.
Good thing.
So we've given you some clues.
Didn't swell up or nothing?
No, my lip didn't swell. So there's some clues about the film in question. So
just about cheese.
Adam, You have queued up a film this week.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's a cheese theme going on here.
See?
And I want to know what film we're going to talk about. Let the audience know. What is it?
Box Trolls.
2014 animation.
Yes.
Stop animation.
Stop action.
Stop action.
Don't ever stop animation.
Stop action.
I love you too much, animation.
And don't stop believing.
Oh, boy.
Or thinking about tomorrow.
No, yeah. We're not doing Journey. We didn't do Air Supply. We're not doing Journey.
And we haven't referenced what's happening, so let's keep that exactly where it needs to be.
Yeah, check out reruns for that.
I think that was Fleetwood Mac.
2014 Box Trolls, the stop action film by, is it Leica? Leica Studios, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's what it is. Leica Studios. Same people that produced and gave us Coraline.
Yeah.
Same people that offered us Paranorman. Adam, have you seen both those films?
Oh, yeah. I own both of those films.
I liked Coraline. Have you seen those films?
I have not.
Coraline was good.
Yeah, it's a tough
Coraline's
burn.
Coraline's fantastic.
I found Coraline to be a tough burn.
Paranorman's fantastic if you haven't got to see it.
Coraline starred Dakota Fanning.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about this film is it stars Elle Fanning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As a little girl.
The parallels just keep adding
they
up.
They do. also stars Isaac Hempstead Wright, Ben Kingsley.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Thank you for the correction. Sir Ben Kingsley. Toni Collette, who really just kind of giggled in this thing.
Yeah.
Right. She's not much.
Had like three lines or something.
And I have a feeling, Adam, that you really wanted to offer this up as a selection because it does have
Nick Pegg.
Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Am I correct?
Actually, no.
No? Okay.
Not. Yes, you are correct. But
yes.
That's
but
not
yes,
why
they're
he offered
in there,
it up.
But no, it's not the reason I picked this film.
Also as Richard Iowati.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He directed Submarine.
Yeah,
Max's favorite film from last year. No one didn't have. He hated that film.
Jared Harris,
Tracy Morgan. So yeah, a bit of a cast here in this thing.
There's a huge cast,
and I'll tell you,
some of the best voice actors the world has to offer. I'm sorry, Dee Bradley Baker, Maurice LaMarche, and Steve Bloom.
He just impressed the hell out of me. Did you see that?
I saw that.
He said that
there's a lot more in here, too.
We don't have to get into
freaking
that.
Freaking fantastic.
No, let's not.
No, these are the go-to guys.
He just said that with such conviction.
Yeah.
That impressed the hell out of me. Producing on the fly and with conviction.
Yeah.
Directed by Graham Annable, of course, Paranorman and Caroline. Adam, nicely done. I think we're going to have a good time talking about this. There is a lot of great craft here, and I wish we could just read the credits off because apparently there are a lot of people whose hands were on this one.
Yeah, the animators. Never mind. I'll get into that.
As they all do, though, Adam, you know that this inspires a top three list.
Yes,
of course.
We've gotten into cheese.
Yes.
We know Adam has a connection to cheese.
Yeah.
We sit near his wall of cheese.
This is Adam's pick of a film that he likes. So,
Adam, what is... We're not only tying the film in to the top three, we're tying you, sir, into the top three this week. What is it?
Y'all have decided to pick the top three cheesy movies that I own.
Yes.
In your collection.
Yes.
And that was not an easy task.
No. They were raining down upon me as I walked by his shelves.
I bet you neither one of us, out of all the ones we've written down, there's not one duplication.
No.
I wrote down like 10.
Just 10?
Well, it's and sir, you do have an impressive collection of the films.
So that's gonna be a lot of fun, Savage, don't you think?
I think so.
We're gonna go over to his wall of movies, and we're gonna pick our top three cheesy films.
Yes.
From the producer's collection,
right? Adam's cheesy films top three.
I love this thing. So
this
Adam,
this is from over 1,800 films.
Yeah, he has quite a wall there. This is all about you, sir. Box Trolls, you inspired the top three, and. You know, there you go. This is your appreciation episode, sir. How's that? Let's talk a bit about what the critics thought of this film. What do you say, Gumbo, huh? Before we get into what we want or what we thought of it.
Let's get it on.
IMDb, Gumbo, what do you think they gave the stop-action film The Box Trolls?
7.1.
Close. You get the point right.
Gosh.
Really?
6.8.
What?
I almost said 6.8. Come on.
You always say that. I almost said
that. Yeah, you almost said that.
Savage.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Critics and users. You know how
critics.
This is played.
Critics. Probably 87%.
75%.
What? Users. 87%.
65% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. From the Box Trolls.
I don't know that I understand that.
We're going to talk about that. Let's talk about what this film is real quick. What do you say? Here you go. Let's talk about it, and then we're going to tell you what we thought of it. The Box Trolls tells the story of subterranean trolls who live beneath the fictional Victorian town of Cheesebridge. The two things the people of this posh town treasure most are their children and their cheeses. Yeah, I wouldn't even say in that order. The Box Trolls, however, do not, and although they look like a fearsome bunch, really they just walk around and cast off cardboard boxes as they scuttle about underground, basically.
Yeah.
Having previously adopted an orphan infant named Eggs, voiced by Isaac Hempstead Wright, the diminutive tinkerers raise him as one of their own. Meanwhile, Eggs may be the Box Troll's only hope for survival when scheming exterminator Archibald Snatcher, voiced by Oscar winner Ben Kingsley, seeks to earn his entry into the ultra-exclusive Cheesebridge Society, despite the fact that he's severely allergic to cheese, is eradicating the misunderstood creatures once and for all. Little does the villainous Snatcher realize that Eggs has a wealthy friend named Winnie, voiced by Fanning, and that Winnie may be the key to solving the long-standing feud between the people above and the benevolent creatures below. Yeah, let's stop right here, guys. Listen to a trailer of the film right now. Box Trolls, animated feature. Gonna come back in a minute and tell you what we thought of this one right here. Here you go.
Sometimes there's a mother. Sometimes there's a father. Sometimes there's a father and a father. Sometimes both fathers are mothers. Sometimes there's a mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, weird aunties with funny hats, a butler, and old uncles who do nothing but eat rare, smelly cheese.
Rare.
Smelly.
And sometimes there's no one at all. But sometimes there are boxes. Families come in all shapes and sizes, even rectangles.
There it is right there, Box Trolls. Stop action feature from 2014, I do believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Queued up by the producer.
Yep.
The cheesiest producer I know.
It's true, actually.
Let's talk a bit about some facts and figures and tell you what we thought of it and get into the film right here. Did you know, Max Gumbo Johnson, that because all of the actors recorded their parts separately, Simon Pegg was initially unaware of best friend Nick Frost's participation?
That's cray-cray.
They kept it a
secret. But wait, if they were best friends, you'd think they would have talked to each other about this.
Neither one knew the other one was doing it.
Wow. Hmm.
Well, maybe they're not such good friends after all.
We got conspiracy right out the gate.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They leaked it so they'd get more publicity.
I need more understanding of that particular bit of trivia. Yeah. Did you know that Dee Bradley Baker, who voices Fish, wheels the bucket, also helped develop the Box Troll language? Yes,
that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Mm.
Did you know that more than 20,000 props were handmade for this movie, Max?
I can imagine.
Yeah.
There were tons of detail in this thing.
Awesome, right down to the buttons, man.
Yeah. Crazy.
Did you know, matter of fact, talk about detail, there are 14 different fabrics in the white hat.
What?
Wow.
14 different fabrics used to create the white hat. And if you watch the film, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, You look so confused, Savage.
Well, 14?
Well, I don't know. Someone really went to work on the hat.
No, it's an awesome hat.
Not really.
Did you know
it really was.
That the movie's smallest prop was a tiny sewing thread and needle? Yeah, so a bit of trivia about this one. So let's get into it right now. You know, we don't use anything but currency inspired by the film. We don't use thumbs up, thumbs down, nothing like that. Gumbo, why?
Because that's cheesy.
There you go.
So cheesy. I knew it.
Had to be cheesy.
It had to be cheesy.
I knew you would not let me down.
It's not easy being cheesy.
It's not, and you proof of that. let's go right to you, Adam. Let's go right to you. Let's talk about what you think of this film. I want to know right now, how many white hats, Adam, how many white hats are you going to give this thing?
When I first watched this, something about it I just didn't care for. But then the more I watched it, I'm going to say I watched this thing three times. I loved it more and more each time. I'm going eight.
You'd go eight? Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Eight.
All right.
Nice, nice. Eight for you. Okay. Yeah, Gumbo Johnson, how about you next? We're talking about white hats. We're talking about the Box Trolls. How many are you going to toss, man?
I'm going to go seven white hats on this one. What? Seven's good.
He's giving you troll language.
Yeah.
Seven's a good score.
I think so.
I mean, you know, most movies are like threes. Think about it. So seven's good.
Yeah,
I'm going seven.
I can't wait to get into it a bit and find out why you went a little higher than I thought you might, Max.
Okay.
All right, I like that. Savage, go. What
yeah,
you got?
Well, it's difficult to rate these kind of films because they're so different. You know, there's a lot different thing goes into them. I'll go with an 8 too. I mean, I can't dismiss what went into making this film.
No.
So I'll go with an 8.
Solid 8 on that. So we got 8, 8, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what, man. I don't always watch a lot of animated features. I was kind of glad. I'm always glad when I get the opportunity because I don't feel like I just don't feel like I invest enough time watching these things.
Right.
So I was really into this, man. I got to say, I took the bait on this one just a bit. I'm going to go 8, and for the same reason Savage is saying this, it is fairly pedestrian in a lot of ways. You know, it plays it a bit safe. Has some obvious social commentary stuff, but still, man, it's really, really good. I thought it was delightful. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I never get tired of stop animation and stop action. I always get caught up in the mechanics of it too, Savage. You know, when I'm looking at these things,
mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, someone made this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Frame by frame.
By frame. And you know what?
Frame.
We're going to get into this thing. Possibly some of the best ending credits I've seen in a long time because they touch on this.
Yeah.
And you know what? The acting in this thing is really good to me, too. I mean, I thought this was some great voiceover work.
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley, he brought that thing to life, I thought.
Sure.
And even Tracy Morgan's little...
oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, his little... just weird stuff. So I'm going to go a solid 8 on this one, man.
All right. What
I
got,
liked
Max?
It.
It's 31 white hats.
31 white hats.
That's a lot of white hats.
It is a lot of white hats.
Jeez.
How did that white hat not get dirty? Come
it
on.
It did a little bit.
It did get smudged.
A little smudge.
Don't you remember? Came in off the street smudged.
A little bit. I was expecting it to be way dirtier.
Yeah. Max likes it dirty down and dirty.
Yeah, right.
Dirty D.
Let's talk about the film, though. Why don't we do that? Producer leads it off because he queued it up.
Yeah, we're in the tasting room.
You say you liked it more and more and more. Okay,
yes.
So that gets a good thing for a film. When you keep going back to the well.
Yeah.
And there's always something to pull back out. Talk to me about what you really like about this film, sir. What is it?
First of all, I have to give credit to all the art to this.
Yeah.
Everything about it, it was the best stop motion feature I've ever seen. And I've seen every single thing that's ever came out. It's fantastic from the glistening of the eyes, the sweat, the rain, the tongue, everything that they did on there with just the glistening of stuff with the LEDs.
Yeah.
And their eyeballs, things like that. It was just so fantastic.
Yeah.
And watching the making of how they made this thing was even more intriguing to me.
I have not seen that.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Is there something out there where
I got the Blu-ray.
See the behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Also, just the story itself, I really liked. I thought the characters were just exquisite. They were fantastic. Each one had their purpose, and they nailed each character, I think. The voice acting was superlative. I had one minor problem with all of it, and I'll get into it later.
Yeah.
But this was just fantastic.
Nice. Wow. Good things to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Savage? I'm going to go to Max in a minute, but
yeah.
Since you're kind of hot on the mic.
Yeah.
What did you like about this? Obviously, the craft, but what else?
Well, you have to start with that. You have to start with the mechanics of what it takes to make a stop action or stop animation film. And this is really, really high level. But it's a hybrid. It's a hybrid of CGI and stop action because they don't sacrifice facial expression to just stop action because there is a very limit to what you can do with stop action puppetry. I mean, because essentially it's what it is puppetry. Mm-hmm. And mechanically, you can only make something look so well as far as a face goes. And so Leica, the production company, they don't sacrifice that. They'll do CGI in the face to make it more emotive.
Well, what they did is they actually would hand-draw the animation, turn around, do a CGI rendition of that, and then make a 3D print and make the faces off of that and then film it that way.
I didn't know that.
Well, so it's not purely stop action. I mean, it's too fluid. You can't
stop action sets the frame around it, and
right.
then they go and they brush it with the CGI. Whatever it is, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. So you have to give credit to that. And there's a lot of things that they did with this that are a first of that mm-hmm. in this film. Mm-hmm. The story's good. You know, the voice acting is dead on. And it's, you don't recognize the actors in it. You don't hear Ben Kingsley. You don't hear Nick Frost. You don't hear Simon Pegg. You know, you hear the characters. And I think it's not so off the rack. I mean, I know that you said the story was pedestrian, and it kind of is. You know, it's your typical Quest story.
It's Oliver Twist with a twist.
It kind of is. But I'll give you the two characters of Mr. Trout and Mr. Pickles. They're completely not what you think that they're going to be. And I think mm-hmm. those two characters are the most developed and unique characters, because they give you something that you haven't seen before, I think.
They question their own selves.
And their own motive. Well, that existential thing at the end. But it is a delightful thing. It's a story well told. It's a story you've heard. I mean, maybe not with box trolls.
No, not maybe not. And, you know, sometimes that's kind of a comforting thing to me, to think, okay, I know what this is.
Sure.
I don't have to stretch out too much to try to grasp what I'm seeing.
No.
And there's a comfort zone that allows you to see other things like the craft.
Yeah. Because
you're not lost into, what am I seeing here? You know it.
Yeah.
And you're just lost into, wow, it looks great. What a great, what a great delivery of something I've seen before.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's a story. You don't want to complicate the story when you've already got the complicated craft to deal with.
All right. Excellent. Max Gumbo Johnson, mm-hmm. You went up there 7. So, you know, all of us seem to kind of enjoy it. You know, and I'm happy to see that, because there's a part of this film where there's not a whole lot of dialogue, and I thought it might stay that way throughout the entire thing.
Right.
And there's a lot of peaks and valleys here. But what did you like most about this film?
Well, we can go into how awesome it looked and all that stuff. I mean, it's great to look at. The level of detail is just off the charts this thing. You've got to watch it probably 4 or 5 times to even begin to pick up on all the details of the buildings and the people and even the streets with the individual little bricks and stuff like that. It was great. Story, okay. You know, nothing spectacular.
It's a children's story.
It's a children's movie. But this does what one of the things that most good children's movies do is it makes it enjoyable for adults as well.
Yeah.
Because you got to drag your kids, you know, your kids are drag you to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of these things can be so maudlin, you know what I mean?
Good word, yeah.
And that's why Pixar is so successful with their stuff. They make stuff that adults can enjoy too, and that they can relate to as well. And there was a lot of that stuff in this movie as well. I mean, I picked up on a lot of jokes and stuff. I thought a couple of things in here, I was like, that's kind of almost inappropriate. But it's not anything that's offensive either.
Yeah, right. Overtly offensive.
I regret so many things.
I mean, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. The voice acting was fine. It was just a pleasing little well-done movie as far as I'm concerned. It didn't knock my socks off or anything or blow me out of the water.
Blow your hat off.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it.
I'm going to give a little more credit to the voiceover work. I have to say, someone actually kind of inspired me to think the same thing again today, but this might be Ben Kingsley's better work in a while. I really thought this was a great performance. When you say performance, obviously not your... Yeah, it's a voiceover work,
But he stole it.
But still a performance.
That character stole the film. I mean, it was a great, great antagonist. It was a great delivery all the way through with that character.
Yeah.
And I got wrapped up into that storyline in this film. So really good acting, I guess you'd say, in this film, which actually kind of pushes it a bit, because like Max says, a lot of it is a bit off the rack. It felt, when I say pedestrian, not a knock on the film, but there wasn't a whole lot to dig into as far as the story, you know. But everything else was a bit more than I expected.
When I was watching it, I was like, this seems like something that was based on a book. And so I went and looked, it is based on, what's it called, Here There Be Monsters?
Yeah. Here There Be Monsters, yeah.
By Alan Snow, I believe.
So I'm like, might pick that up. I'd like to check that out. Is it a book or a picture book? Or,
I have no clue.
What's the deal?
Yeah. You know what we need to do? Why don't we take a listen right now of the film, grab a piece from it, check it out. We're going to come back, talk about some scenes, talk about some cheese.
Talk about some cheese.
Yeah, talk about the Brehemoth. We're going to get into that. Come on, that was pretty clever.
Yeah, that was
the Brehemoth. So here you go, Box Trolls 2014. We'll come back and get into a bit of it. Here you are.
What's going on? Why aren't they ripping out our eyeballs and eating our faces? the rivers of blood and mountains of bones. I was promised mountains of bones!
I told you we don't eat people.
Why do you keep saying we? You're not one of them. You're a boy.
No, I'm not. I'm a box troll. Eggs, the box troll.
Oh, really? Then let's see you fit in your box.
I can't right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm long-boned.
And you don't talk like them.
I have a speech impediment.
Your ears aren't pointy.
I slept on them funny.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That was Box Trolls 2014, and we're going to talk about it.
Right.
Q Filmcast. Back again. All right, guys, let's get into it. Scenes right here. What comes to the surface, Max, when you think back on this film? I have a couple of things that I really hold on to, but what do you got?
Scenes? I really like the party scene.
Love
where
it.
She brought him to the house to meet the dad.
Yeah.
And
he was shaking hands.
Shaking hands. And he's walking. That was one of the inappropriate things when he's walking up. He starts scratching his bells. It's just like, don't scratch there. That's why they're called your private parts. Your privates. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And the whole...
shaking hands just cracked me up.
The whole awkward fish out of water sense you got with that party.
Yeah.
I thought that played really, really well. It was funny. I was actually laughing out loud at some of it.
Yeah, I was too. That's one of my favorites.
He kissed a woman's hand and kept kissing it and licks her.
And he licks her. I was like, what the hell? and then the speech, I can't remember the characters' names. The dad.
Lord Portly Ryan.
Okay. Thank you. So they'd raised all the money to build a children's hospital.
Yeah.
He says, but we decided to buy this instead. That's when he introduced
the Brehemoth.
The Brehemoth.
Because the social commentary here is set through, well, the money is the cheese. Everybody wants the cheese. The people with the cheese and the white hat, they have the money and the Ferrari.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it kind of plays into, it's a mirror for the things we kind of go through here in our world.
Yeah.
You know, well, I could have had the children's hospital, but look at this cheese. The cheese is obviously, look at my new boat kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
The cheddar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like that scene. I liked all the stuff in the troll cave, I guess, too.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It was so inventive the way they would jump down the sewer and they had that big, it was like a
conveyor
water
belt.
Like a water slide, and then the conveyor belt made out of cans and all that stuff. I'd have to watch it again. Like I said, you'd probably have to watch it over and over and over to pick up all the little details.
The second time I watched, I kind of got caught up into, wow, look at that, how that's built. And look how the trolls are going down the slide. And wow, look how they kind of put that there. And you get lost in the background a lot more once you watch it that second and third time.
You really do.
Thanks for that scene you brought up, though. That was going to be the first thing I went to, too, is the cheese tasting scene. Or not that scene, but the party scene.
Yeah.
Because the stage was set so well.
Mm-hmm.
Every party character had that perfect look of bewilderment on their face.
Right.
And everything was brought to life really well. But, Savage, what do you got?
Yeah, no, I like the everything with the box trolls. It's such a unique character. And then if you get any kind of backstory on it, you know that the stop action guys had to create a completely different way to move instead of just a human movement or an animal movement.
Yeah.
So they had at their discretion to essentially create movement as artists. I like the opening scene where you see him come out of the sewer, and then they start pilfering things, and then you realize automatically, like, for one, they're handy. These are some clever little trolls, and, they're kind of benign.
They're benign. They're cute. They have the cute factor.
Yeah.
But they're well put together.
They really are. And just how they move, how they would jump over fences and they would pull each other. It was like something out of a Looney Tunes cartoon almost. Mm-hmm.
It was a very Rube Goldberg.
Very much so. But I really was struck initially by the descent into the troll cave.
Yeah.
Down that conveyor belt through the thing. It happened so fast, and it's like a one-shot tracking thing.
Yeah.
That I thought is like, oh, that must be CGI. I mean, that mm-hmm. was just too slick. Mm-hmm. But then it's not. It's a construction. I mean, and it's hard to discuss this movie without talking about how it was made.
But, back to the trolls, too. You're talking about how they were very, I'd say, juvenile, but they were really in there to appeal to a much younger audience.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in here to appeal to a younger audience, especially with the trolls. When they're down there, there's a couple music sequences.
Yeah.
Where it's just them with the accordion, and I felt like I was watching maybe a bit of Teletubby stuff going on.
Well, it was a little montage of growing of eggs.
And it shows his progression, and he's smashing the light bulbs. That's what he played. He played the smashing of the light bulbs. But there were a couple times I thought, okay, if it stays here, it's going to be really, really for a younger audience. And then it goes back up into a little bit more of a highbrow kind of thing. But
yeah.
But, there's certainly a lot of stuff here that is playful.
Certainly. And then it gets fairly dark.
And then it goes dark,
Snatcher, because he's a menacing guy.
Especially at the end when he comes in with that big, massive...
The Mechadrill.
Mechadrill spider thing. Mm. Producer, this is your film. I'm sure you have a lot to talk about. What are some of the scenes that really stand out for you? Some of your favorites?
Favorite scene by far would be the initial scene where Fish and Shude, the two trolls, start fighting over the clock, and then he winds up finding the fish finds the teddy bear, and he takes it back to Eggs.
Yeah.
And he starts playing really, with this teddy bear in his box going from hole to hole. And then all of a sudden, when Eggs finally gets to teddy bear, he's all excited about it, and you think, oh, it's great, he's a little human, but you find out really quickly he's already a troll at this point.
Right,
yeah.
And he rips it out and gets the little mechanical box for that. I thought that was a brilliant scene.
I liked it, too.
And other than that, just the comedy in this thing just had me rolling the entire time.
There is some good comedy in here.
There are some great one-liners in here.
Yeah. Like Max says, there are a couple times where I laughed out loud. I'm going to tell you what I laughed out loud at.
What?
Back to Snatcher. Yeah, he's menacing. He's scary at times,
Mm-hmm.
But the scene where he's tasting this cheese, man, that whole thing.
And he's allergic.
Because in the movie, that is like, the smoking room. That is where the elite go. Everything's about tasting the cheese.
Yeah.
And he wants it so bad. His whole thing is, I want to be in that room.
Mm-hmm.
I got this stupid red hat.
He wants the white hat.
I want the white hat. That scene... Where him and his little buddies,
his minions,
they're terrified because they even say, "Don't you know what happens to you when you eat cheese?" He's completely allergic to cheese. The way that whole thing happened, the way the lip basically went 20 times its size, and you can see him go through this complete. He busts out in cheddar pox.
Yeah, right.
Who busts out in cheddar pox?
That guy.
I love
they send
that scene.
Mr. Gristle to go get the leeches.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They throw the leeches on his face.
They keep trying to get it away from him.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
I was rolling in that film. That scene was
Mr. Gristle had me bawling in that scene. It was so funny.
Yeah, really good stuff, man. I love that scene in particular.
Yeah.
What else you got, Max?
Wow. I wasn't expecting you to come. Here's one thing that really, really struck me. I don't know if you'd call it a reveal or a something. When Eggs actually leaves the cave, he comes up through that manhole, and it's daylight. It's the first time we see daylight in the whole movie,
right?
Mm-hmm. And it's you almost get. I'm assuming this is the first time he's actually been out in the daylight.
You assume that,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And he sees, he's people walking around, and he can't navigate the roads. Huh?
Is this the carnival scene?
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah, sort of the carnival scene. And, the one-man band, that guy killed
he
me.
He was awesome.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Cracked me. And just to watch the detail of how everything on his little setup worked.
Exactly.
Like every time he took a step, it would
hit the bass drum.
It would hit the bass drum and all that stuff. And then the music scene... With what was her name?
Frou-Frou.
Madame Frou-Frou.
Madame Frou-Frou, who is Snatcher and Drag.
Snatcher.
Right.
Yeah, I found that.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I hope they're not planning on fooling anyone with this. It's like, that's definitely him.
The song was written by Eric Idle.
Yeah, it's a great song. Also, at the end, too. There's two songs here written by Eric Idle.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lady Frou-Frou thing, that's a bit of a social commentary, how the masses sit there and are just manipulated so easily.
Yeah.
It plays a lot into, there's some adult themes here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he keeps the lie going every year about the troubadour baby, or whatever you call it.
Yeah, what was
the Trubshire baby.
Trubshire baby, or whatever. Yeah.
But, I like the whole Frou-Frou, especially when they get to the party and he's like, look, Frou-Frou is a snatcher. Like, this is such an indignation placed upon Frou-Frou. And they just don't admit that they've been trying to smack this guy's ass.
Yeah, right, right.
And at the end when they finally revealed him.
Yeah, right.
What's his name? Portly Ryan just goes, I regret so many things.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's really, that's pretty cutting edge for something that what you'd call a kid's movie.
Yeah, because he was married.
Yeah, yeah, there was some stuff like that for sure. You know, to talk about some of the other characters, though, like we said earlier, it's a pretty big cast. And there's people that you know, Simon Pegg.
Sure.
Nick Frost.
Jelly.
Who's Jelly?
No, it's Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg kept yelling.
The father.
Jelly.
Jelly.
Oh, okay. Yep. Let's talk a bit about that. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle.
No, those are some of the better characters, I think. They're the least cliched, you know, because the story, I mean, the craft work aside, which is stunning, the story is okay. I mean, it's your typical quest story where, you know, the protagonist has to go and then find something and then achieve something and then come back. Mm-hmm. And then it has all the tropes of that, all the things where it looks like he's not going to get it, and then he does going to get it, and then it's not going to get it. And
it's
then
always
does.
A kid based in most of these stop motion.
But the two, Mr. Pickles and Mr. Trout, those two characters are so unique because they kind of express doubt.
Right. I mean,
they're written, just the story of those characters, mm-hmm. they're written where they're not really for sure. They're trying to stay on board with what they're doing, but they kind of understand that maybe this is weird.
Yeah.
And then at that big reveal, it's like, you're evil henchman. I knew that's what people looked at us like.
Yeah, I also like the part at the very beginning when Snatcher says, because evil is afoot in this town. And
right.
It's like, have you ever seen a foot be evil? After all, we are the good guys, right? Right? They're always questioning that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least those two were.
Yeah.
And you know the Mr. Mr. Pickles, the big one is. You think that he's going to be the doofus, and he's not. He's the smart guy.
Yeah,
he's the smart guy.
He's the sage Eastern philosopher.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, essentially. So I found that really refreshing as far as the story and the character development.
Yeah, because they weren't just background characters. They
no.
had a place to go.
Yeah.
They had a place to go from and a place to go to.
Well, they had their own identity.
They did. And you keep talking about Mr. Gristle. You talk about Tracy Morgan.
Yes, yeah. I love that guy.
Listen, I'm going to back him up on this. Every time I saw a little dude hop across the screen going, hur, hur, I just laughed. I mean, because you say that you couldn't hear the actor. That was still Tracy Morgan, and I like him, and that was kind of just funny to me every time that
reminded me
came
of Mr. Toad.
Mr. Toad, yeah.
It's every time I saw him, I was like, is that Mr. Toad?
But did you notice, Max? He wasn't like the other two characters. He was evil through the whole thing.
Like
yeah.
I mean, he was the only one that had a gun. He relished throwing those leeches on Snatcher.
Yeah.
It's like he couldn't wait to do that. Not because it would help Snatcher, just because he wanted to throw some leeches on somebody.
Yeah.
And he's the
yeah.
one that went up. I mean, he when they found eggs in the warehouse, you know, up on the rafters, he went after him.
Yeah. Got that cricket bat.
Big time.
At the cricket bat, yep.
He went after the trolls at the beginning. He was the one that started going after the trolls really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the worst guy. I mean, next to Snatcher, of course. But
well, no, the worst guy was Lord Portly Ryan because he was a terrible father.
I didn't even think
about
that.
That guy just...
What a jerk.
What a just terrible dude.
It's like when... what's his name? Snatcher finds the daughter and the hat in the street, and he brings them both to Portly Ryan. I found something of much importance to you in the street. And he's like, yes! And he runs right past the daughter to the hat.
Gives the hat.
Yeah. Guy was such a doucher.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Him in that cheese tasting room, too. What a pompous ass. Yeah. As you would always say, Max, a pompous ass.
He is.
Booshdags.
Yeah, he was a booshdag. He actually was, wasn't he?
He was. He really was.
He came around, though. He noticed the ways of fault of his ways.
Yeah.
Max, did you see throughout the movie that, okay, you knew it was coming. You knew that the two henchmen were going to realize that, wait a minute, we are the evil henchmen. You knew that the douchebag father was going to find his evil ways.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to reverse them. And, you know, everything was going to be exposed. But did you like the ending?
Oh, yeah. I love the ending. The big showdown with the...
The mecha drill,
whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And how they brought that tube over to the sewer and sucked the water up into it and everything.
Yeah.
And then him eating that cheese just, wow. That was awesome.
Oh, at the end, man.
And that just,
yeah.
He was so determined to eat that cheese. They kept cutting the pieces smaller and smaller. It's like, enough cutting. Just give me the cheese.
I love the ending. I thought it was great. I mean, if you really want to think about this in terms of a, maybe an action film, was some pretty good stuff.
It was.
Yeah.
It was really good. I mean, it's sad to have to note that some of the best quote-unquote action sequences you see these days are in movies like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's real inventive.
Yeah.
You can see what's going on. They hold the camera in one place. Yeah. You can follow the action. And
right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they just go really out there with the stuff they try and get innovative with.
Yeah.
And that was real prevalent here, too.
Yeah, and I love that whole aspect of
by necessity, though, because what it is.
You know, I like, we're talking about this film here, and we're talking more about the things that surround the box trolls than the actual box trolls.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been easy just to throw box trolls on the screen for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot here going around.
Well,
there's
they
a lot
did
here
that
happening.
With Minions from Despicable Me.
Right. I was expecting some of that, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. And no, it's not. It's more drawn out.
Well, I mean, they focused on the few important ones, you know, Fish and Shoe and Oil and those guys. And
Fragile.
Yeah, Fragile, a little bit.
I love Fragile.
And so there was that. Mm-hmm. And then there was some gratuitous box troll butt at the end.
Yeah. Box troll butt. I liked how the box trolls walked around with boxes on them. I mean, that's how they got their name. Yeah.
And they utilized
and all
the
stuff.
Boxes.
Oh, I like it. They were pretty industrious little trolls, man. Yeah. They slept in one big box.
Even Eggs. He's just big boned. He couldn't shrink it.
Eggs. Right. He was just eggs.
Oh, and the best scene, though, I fell out laughing is when Eggs finally took off his crate and all of them just start screaming because he's naked.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love this movie. I may go up.
Well, you're already at 9. What are you saying? You're going
to
get
go to
8.
He could go to a dozen eggs.
Yeah, James walked in on me watching this just rolling constantly.
He was watching that when you walked in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is so funny.
I can kind of tell when Adam really likes a film because you walk into Jolly Roger's studio
he's
and it's playing it. When you walk in.
Yeah, well, he's always watching the one that he picks.
The only thing I didn't really, I wouldn't say it's a soft part of the film, but something that really didn't grab me was the female character in the relationship
I thought she just kind of trolloped around
the screen. She didn't seem like it wasn't a great character in this. I didn't really like
that. No, she was great. I love that she was, even though she wanted her father's attention, she still had this little evil side to her. She's like, oh, no, don't eat me. Do it quickly. She always wanted to know the grotesque of everything.
She was dramatic.
Yeah.
She said, I assume I'm incredibly delicious, so just go ahead and eat me. But, you know, then she gets down to their lair, and through her whole life she's been told these trolls, they have a mountain of bones down there.
Mountain of baby bones. Where are the bones?
Yeah. Well, she's
getting
no attention anywhere else in her life.
And they didn't pay attention to her while she's screaming about all that either.
Yeah. So
they were more afraid of her than she was of them.
And then the film ends up, obviously, just to wrap it up as far as the ending.
Yeah.
Everything's just wrapped up. Oh, just like you thought it would be. The trolls are now out of the sewer.
Yeah.
They're fixing everybody's crap all over town.
Well,
they open up storefront shop.
Yeah, we're not, dude.
You know.
Yeah.
They fix the one-man band.
They fix the one-man band, yeah.
I love the drum roll.
It
has me crack up.
Yeah.
Oh, where they do the milk turns into curds way.
That was awesome.
That was funny.
Milk Street turns into Curds Way.
I sensed, we talked about the craft, but you know, I also sensed a lot of joy in the film. It was a kind of a joyous event for the people that made it. You sensed that people had a good time making this film, I guarantee you.
Sure. I mean, if you're doing something like that, you're doing something you love. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing that.
Well, no, and that leads into what I think is the best part of the film.
The end credits.
I love those things. Because it wasn't just, well, here's who made the film. That whole thing where the characters come back out and say, you know, maybe we're just these little characters and there's these giants that loom over us and make us move. And they show the shadow of the animators kind of actually doing that.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a tribute to these people with the name on the screen. Right. It actually made you stop and think about what they did.
Right.
And I love that. Max, what do you think?
I thought that was great, too, especially since the dialogue kept going through the whole thing. And almost to the end of that little
even
end
after
credits.
He says
if I wanted to do a little dance and he's that silly ridiculous dance and you just see this guy coming in and out of the frame at actual speed frame 24 frames a second or whatever they film these things at, I guess I was like, wow, that's literally how fast this is running, and he's in and out of the frame every 24th of a second doing this thing. That's insane.
He's saying, man, if I just move my elbow like this, could you imagine
if I just blinked? And then you'd have to do it if just me saying that I blinked.
Yeah, and he says, and you know, the people doing it probably wouldn't make much money either. It's probably more like a hobby, like stamp collecting.
Yeah, they'd have to have another job. Or
so it was just fantastic.
And well, it expressed the established existential dilemma that those two characters were having throughout the entire film. And then to bring it all home with that was just... It's like the piece de resistance, you know. It was
a nice tribute,
a little coup de grace.
It was a nice tribute, and I like that. And then Adam, to follow up what you said earlier, it goes into a really nice Eric Idle song.
Oh yeah,
the Box Troll song, whatever. But then they had a different kind of animation going. They actually showed a sketch animation,
hand drawn.
Yeah, hand drawing. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. A lot here.
A little easier.
Now, it took him another 7 months to make the movie.
Probably did.
Now, I want to bring up one thing I really did not like about this film.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
And I'll be honest with it. The coloring on the human's faces.
Yeah.
The red, the yellow. It
the
worked
blue.
Great with the shadows.
Yeah.
But when it came out into the sunlight, it really was a distraction.
It was distracting. I found the same thing.
I did not like that one bit. I hope they don't ever do that again in any future animations.
I oddly know what he's talking about.
Yeah. No, yeah. I felt the same way. It was like, and it had to be a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like blue, yellow, red. It was like these really primary color things, drawn on their faces. I don't know.
Yeah, it really just took me out of it.
Yeah.
Well, not really took me out of it, but it just... didn't care for it very much.
What about you, Max? Anything you want to nitpick on this film?
No, just, you know.
Whatever.
I enjoyed it. It's a fun movie to watch. It was well done. Nothing, as far as story goes, nothing spectacular. But it's a fun movie. Give it a shot. Watch it.
That's what I'm saying.
You'll enjoy it.
It's great for kids, great for adults.
No,
it's
fine.
For everybody.
It's fine. Yeah, that's really the
and
thing.
For
is
the
it's,
weirdos.
It's fine. It's a nice tribute to the people that do this kind of work, that's for sure.
Well, and speaking of craft, just throw it out there. The Mechadrill, the largest stop-action construction ever made.
Really?
Really.
Yeah, it was over 5 feet tall.
It's the largest one in history.
You mean it's taller than Takashi Miike? Is that what you're saying? 5 feet tall. Listen,
and on that note.
Listen, we're running out of time.
Right.
Let's get to our top three because we've talked a lot about craft.
Yeah.
We're about to talk about crap. Okay. We're going to keep the cheese flowing. Adam, your wall of shame, fame, movies, whatever, it's to my right. We're talking about cheese. This movie's full of cheese.
Right.
This room is full of cheese.
Right.
We're going to pull out a few craft singles and we're going to talk about our top three cheesy films from Adam's collection. One last time, here's Box Trolls. We're going to come back, get into our top three cheesy films from the producer. Here you go.
Just keeping the streets clean.
Free from evil.
Yep.
You ever think about the universe, Mr. Trout? What if our world is just like a tiny speck?
A tiny little speck.
And there are giants looking down on us.
And every time we move...
It's actually them... moving us.
Seems a bit tedious.
Like that. Just there. Me blinking. That would have taken them a day.
Me moving my arm. 500 men.
I mean, none of them are going home. They're having to do this bit. And now this bit. And this bit. I mean, this should stop.
I think it throws up notions of free will.
It's too much. And then they would have had to have done me talking about the blink. And it never ends. I think they make a meal of it, to be honest. I don't know how they get the time. They've got to have other jobs. It's more like a hobby. You know, like stamp collecting. Something you do in your free time.
Who squeezed the cheese? I have no idea. But we got a handful of it.
Yeah, right.
And I think you heard a handful of it.
Right.
That is from the film we talked about, Box Trolls 2014.
Yeah.
Animated stop action feature.
It's a good film.
It's a very good film. Inspires something. They all do.
Yeah.
Top three.
Yeah.
This week's different, though. This week's fun.
Right.
Let me tell you what, man. Not only are we doing a tribute to the film.
Right.
We're doing a tribute to our producer.
Yeah.
He's a collector of what we... maybe he doesn't think so, but we certainly know so.
Yeah.
Cheesy films.
Sure. He chose a cheesy film, and now we're going to choose some of his cheesy films.
Yeah, exactly right. So we just we went over to his wall of cheese.
Oh, God.
And honest to God, we just pulled down some movies.
I got some Limburger right here. It's stinking.
I got some Kraft Singles. I got Kraft Singles. Max, what kind of cheese you got?
Why did he own some of this stuff?
Oh, God. Adam, do you really spend money on it? It's fascinating.
You really? You paid for that?
Which one?
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. All right.
Actually, no, that one was given to me.
Adam,
I wonder why.
I want you to judge your cheese, okay?
Okay.
We're gonna talk about our top three cheesy movies that we just found on your wall of collection of cheese, okay? Savage, why don't you go first? What is your number three film that you've pulled from Adam's movie collection?
Well, it's a film that I love, but it doesn't mean it's not cheesy. Bruce Campbell, Ossie Davis, Bubba Hotep. It's the king. It's the king.
And John Kennedy.
Versus the king of the dead.
That is not cheese. That is a classic.
It's cheesy.
That is a classic.
You know what?
Bubba Hotep. It's the king.
Let me tell you what.
Versus the king of the dead.
When Bubba Hotep is going to be the Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah.
The movies we're about to talk about.
No, that's as high as it gets, folks.
Yeah, we're going down from there.
That's as good as it gets.
That's actually a pretty decent film.
It's a great film, but it's cheesy.
It's a fantastic film.
Max Gumbo Johnson, what can
I
you pull
know.
From your
There's
pile?
There's so much to choose from here.
Well, you got the collection.
Okay, for number three, I'm going to have to go with the Ginger Dead Man trilogy box set.
Adam.
Ginger Dead Man.
You bought the box set?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Gary Busey is the ginger dead man.
I've seen
Only
it.
Only in the first one.
He made
evil,
me watch this.
Evil never tasted so good. They followed that up with Ginger Dead Man 2, The Passion of the Crust.
Isn't that a freaking classic great poster?
Bad yeast shall rise again.
Oh,
no, it's
my
a
God.
Terrible poster. It's
what?
Gross. And then it was Ginger Dead Man 3, Saturday Night Cleaver.
Oh.
He goes back to the 70s in that one.
The ultimate roller boogeyman.
Just so you know, yes, this is about a killer cookie.
Oh,
I hope
God.
You know this.
Ginger Dead Man.
Ginger
out of the oven and into your heart.
Ginger Dead Man 2, Passion of
my
the Crust.
Collection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Max,
a top three right there.
Max.
Let's emphasize, Adam paid money for these.
Max goes with the trilogy.
Right.
Let me tell you what I have. I just grabbed some crap here. How about this one? My number three, Trailer Park of Terror.
God.
Yeah.
That's got some big names there.
Here's what
it's
you
got
have.
Some big names.
Big names. Yeah, I want to hear these big names.
Returning from the retreat when their bus crashes, stranding them in the middle of a trailer park from hell. Literally. Without warning, hillbilly zombies looking for fun begin slaughtering the teens. Yeah. Adam, I may actually have to borrow that.
That's
all right.
Every trailer park in
Savage.
Yeah.
Roll with it.
I got the Garbage Pail Kids. If anybody remembers those cards, it doesn't get any grosser than this. That's the tagline.
That's the best they could come up with? It doesn't get any grosser than this?
Right. The Garbage Pail Kids, and it looks just terrible.
That's the stupidest looking movie, just from the box. Wait, this is based on those cards your mother would never let you buy, but you bought anyway?
Right.
Like the Atom Bomb.
It's so bad.
Garbage
Pail Kids.
Confess to me, producer.
What?
You bought this. It looks like it's been opened. You've watched this
Actually,
movie.
Someone gave that to me.
Okay, see, now he's backing off. No, it ain't really mine.
But no, I was excited about getting it, too.
Right.
I swear, officer, those are my friend's drugs.
Who are we up to now?
It's
Max, what
Do
you
it
got?
Up.
I'm going with 2001 Maniacs. I'm assuming this is a pseudo sequel to the
It is.
To the original 2001 Maniacs.
Yes.
You Are What They Eat, starring Robert Englund. It's got an eye patch on with the rebel flag.
eye patch is a rebel flag.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Did you like this movie?
Actually, I did.
You did?
Yes.
You liked this movie?
Yeah, they get some great kills in there.
I've actually seen this movie. It is one of the worst pieces of garbage I've ever seen in my life.
It's got some great kills.
I've got the Garbage Pail Kids over
okay,
here.
Okay, did you like the movie or the kills?
Both.
It's a terrible, it's an awful movie.
Max, let me see the cover of this thing.
It's awful.
2001
You gotta
Maniacs.
Love that eye patch, though.
As Conway Twitty would say, by God.
Well, look, he still has a sticker on it. He spent $3 on this thing.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that was
$3.94.
I think Blockbuster was going out of business or something like that.
Here's what I have. I'm going to move along. I went over there. I grabbed something that just looked god awful, and it certainly does. Triloquist. You'll laugh, you'll die.
Yeah.
Here's the tagline for this one: one's a doll, the other's no dummy. From writer director of Leprechaun comes an even scarier and more diabolical funny nightmare when two teen orphans, a ventriloquist mute, and then they hit the road for Vegas.
A ventriloquist
look at this.
Mute.
Look at this. Look at the box.
Oh, my Jesus.
Okay.
A ventriloquist mute.
That's not even a good-looking puppet. Even the puppet is stupid-looking. It's stupid-looking.
All right.
You should watch the movie.
I got the number one.
Did you like that movie?
Kind of.
I got the number one right here.
That's insane.
And we probably should Twitter out this photo. Monsterd.
Oh yes.
Monsterd.
This film has become a bit of a classic in our circles. It's about a killer piece of crap.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
And the tagline is, don't get caught with your pants down. And the poster is a model who's swirling down into the toilet like the toilet is eating her.
I've seen that as well. Did you like that movie, Adam?
Not really. It was given to me as a gift.
Well, hold on.
All of a sudden, all the movies.
Every one of these was either given to you or I bought it. I paid like a buck for it.
I'm frugal.
Okay.
No, whatever. You go to Best Buy every Tuesday. I've got every new release that
Monsterd
comes out
right here.
It's pretty funny though.
Yeah, the puppet in there.
Yeah,
funny.
Number ones. Boy, this is good. This is where it gets really, really good.
That's going to be hard to beat. Monster, it's going to be hard to beat.
Inspired by the film Box Trolls, which is all about cheese, keeping the cheese going, Max. What's the cheesiest film you found on Adam's wall?
I don't know.
You should have stuck.
I'm just going through movies. I'm not even picking
Ginger
a one. I'm not even picking a number one or anything. I'm just going through some of these. This was Zombie Strippers. They'll dance for a fee but devour you for free. Starring Robert Englund and Jenna Jameson.
Oh, okay. I'm picking up a theme. Okay.
Special unrated edition.
Wow.
How much did you enjoy that movie?
Actually, I did enjoy it.
God, it's terrible.
Well, at least it had strippers in it, Max. Come on.
Barely.
Well, here's what I have.
What you got for your number one?
I don't even know if it's number one. It's just one of them. How's that sound?
I know. I can't pick a number
one. I can tell you he spent $4 on it. He got it on clearance. The Tripper, David Arquette film, Sex, Drugs, Rock, and Ronnie.
Yeah.
It is David Arquette looking like a zombie with an axe. It has Lucas Haas in it.
He's wearing a Reagan mask.
It's Reagan mask.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Rockin' Ronnie.
Going around killing people
Ronnie
in the
Reagan.
Camp.
Oh, Sex, Drugs, and Rock, and Ronnie. Okay.
Yeah.
Has Paul Rubens in it. Maybe this isn't cheesy.
No, it is.
It's pretty
come
bad.
Come on, man. It's David Arquette and a Ronald Reagan
it's
mask.
Fun, though. You should watch it.
Okay. There's cheesy films inspired by the producer, inspired by the movie Box Trolls that we talked about.
And we could really go on.
This was fun. I thought this was a nice twist on it.
Yeah.
Going right here in the queue and using Adam as a prop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cheesy films. This was Box Trolls 2014. Top three cheesy films from Adam. And let's move on to the next film.
Sure.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Savage, is that you?
It is. I think
next
it's
week,
my pick, yeah.
What are we going with?
I think I'm going to go do something a little different. I think I'm feeling like I want to watch an Iranian spaghetti western film noir vampire film.
There's so many. Could you narrow it down, please?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with one called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Ooh. I've seen it.
I've seen it.
Adam, you've
I
not seen
not.
It.
I have not. I've been wanting to see this, though.
Ooh. This is going to give us something to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't know about a trailer. Might have a hard time finding a trailer for this film.
He's been wanting to see it. He's been too wrapped up with Monsterd and the Ginger Dead Man collection.
All right.
Y'all
the missed crust.
So many.
Yeah.
But next week's going to be A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yes.
So let's do that. And once again, thank you for tuning into the queue. If you want to leave your thoughts on the film we talked about tonight, or we don't care anything at all.
Yeah, the Box Trolls.
Or you want to talk about Ginger Dead Man 2, Passion of the Crust.
Or Monsterd.
If it ever comes on, I'm picking it.
We don't care.
Or Creepshow 2, which I failed to mention.
Killer trash bags are epic.
If we inspired you to go to theqfilmcast.net, job done. So, go there. Tell us what you think.
Right.
And we'll see you next week when we talk about A Girl Walks Home at Night. So until then, goodbye to your Gouda.
Cheese, glorious cheese. Tastes mighty inviting.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
It's so tantalizing.
Whether you like it saucy, snappy, mild, or wild, real cheese has a taste for you.
Enjoy cheese, marvelous cheese, wonderful cheese.